Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 30. Getting Down. Although they were all exhausted, they conjured a portal back to Twitchell's at midnight. James was still as wobbly as a newborn giraffe, but managed the walk through the forest, with a little help from his friends. The caretaker was there to meet them, permanent scowl fixed on her face. She led them through to the library. "Ooh, that's better," James said, as they crossed the threshold into the new, old room. "What is that? The Stone of Brighthelm?" The inspector was at his desk, but in place of the chessboard was the portal book and, as James correctly identified, the Stone of Brighthelm. The caretaker sat next to the inspector, and James, Jenny, Elf and Nick sat opposite. James put his hands around the leather case and hugged the Stone of Brighthelm to his chest. "You can feel the magic?" the inspector asked. "Yeah, it makes me feel human. Jenny said you had an idea about a cure that involved a feather, but nobody had any idea what you were talking about." "The Alchemist, or to give them their proper name, the Owl Commiss, kept their word," the inspector said. "First ones to the lift got to talk business. They politely answered the question, albeit in a roundabout way." "Owl what?" Nick said. "Owl Commiss," the inspector said. "One of a pair of night hunters. The nice one, in fact." James put his head down on the portal book. "All right, I'm tired and I'm dying. What did the owl say?" "That they'd trained themselves to resist all poisons."
"Good for them."
"And that the only way is down."
"Down, like feathers in a pillow?"
James's brain hadn't quite died yet. "I believe that we can use this feather to make a cure, or at least to help stave off the poison." The inspector held out the now rather precious feather. "If the owl can resist all poison, and I've no reason to disbelieve them, then it's perfectly possible that we can analyze the feather to find out how. You'll have to tell me how you survived being bitten by Rask, though. That's something that I didn't think was possible."
"If I tell you, will you make the cure?" James said sleepily.
"We'll need to do some tests first, in hospital, and it's likely that we'll have to tell your parents." "All our parents?" Jenny asked, a slight tinge of worry in her voice. "You just fought off dozens of attackers in a kind of strange cosplay battle royale." The inspector raised his eyebrows. "Which you won, by the way. And you're concerned about telling your parents that James is ill?"
"They'll worry," Jenny said. "They don't handle those sorts of things very well."
"We'll see," the inspector said. "I'm sure we can find a reasonable way of proceeding."
"Why are we here?" Nick said.
"I don't mean right now, at midnight in the library. That part I get. I mean us being together at Twitchell's. You're doing all this deliberately, aren't you?"
"How do you mean?" the inspector said.
"Well, that Twitchell's network, the one I hacked, that was a honeypot. And it's no coincidence that I happen to be put in a room with James. And you know where we go at the weekends, but you don't do anything about it. And you gave me that tie knowing it might be useful to you later. And I'm pretty sure that you wanted these magic things to get sold and taken. Because I bet you've got trackers in them, like in our ID badges. None of that stopped you from getting hacked by LCRS. But that's probably because Collier's dad bought a whole company and you didn't notice."
"Barbara?" The inspector turned to the caretaker.
She shot him a look, making it fairly clear that she did not want to be there.
"Yes," she said.
"Yes to which bit?" Nick asked.
"The technical bit. I got no control over who Scott gives his magic ties to. Risky business doing that."
"But why?" Jenny asked. "I thought you wanted me, James and Elf to come here because we were changed by magic, so you could help us."
"That part is true," the inspector said. "But helping people isn't the same as telling them what to do."
"You could have told us Collier was snooping around Brighton," Elf said.
The inspector shrugged.
"You worked it out."
"You could have told us that the auction was a sting operation," Nick said.
Another shrug. "I didn't know you were attending the auction. It was on a school night."
"You could have told us what Nick was like," Jenny said. "We almost made an enemy of him when we met him." James lifted his head up from the portal book.
He was testing us. Still is. Can't be sure we're right for whatever he's got planned for us.
And what does he have planned for us? Elf asked.
I dunno. Stuff. Probably some kind of secret government jobs that have to be done off the books, so if we get caught we're deniable. And we'll get killed if we ever want to leave the team.
James rested his head back on the book. Jenny laughed. You've been watching too many spy films.
We fly through a magic portal to school every day, Nick said. I think James's theory makes more sense than that.
Why would we do spy things for the government? Elf asked. I mean, I don't even do homework.
For your country, the caretaker said flatly. Or, as I think about it, since I got kicked out of His Majesty's service, to stop bad things happening to people you know.
They all looked at the inspector.
Is James right? Jenny asked. Do you want us to do secret stuff to stop bad things happening to people we know?
The inspector smiled.
Is that so different from what you did tonight?
Nick started to nod in agreement.
Oh no, Jenny shook her head. Don't go answering my question with a question. Is it your intention to get us ready to do secret stuff like James said? Is he right?
Partly, yes.
But why didn't you tell us all this before? Jenny said, throwing up her arms in annoyance. Wouldn't that have been easier than letting Collier steal the book, setting up pretend networks, and tracking us secretly?
I already said, James yawned. It's tests to see if we're the right sort of people.
Not just the right sort of people, the inspector said. The right sort of team. One built on trust and experience. And I didn't know that until tonight. Until I saw how you all worked for each other to achieve a goal far greater than you could have done on your own. And, with your agreement, I'd like to help you develop. As a team.
And what if we don't agree? Elf said sulkily.
Let's just work on getting James better, shall we? We can worry about the details once that's done.
There was one detail that Nick needed to know straight away.
What about my laptop? I mean, Christmas is ages away.
6 weeks later, just before Christmas. It was not as easy as Nick thought it would be to manufacture a cure for James. He needed weeks of hospital treatment, while a special team of scientists from a special government department tried and tested different ways of getting particular properties of the feather into James's bloodstream. It turned out that the bit that worked, that activated the magical cure, or supplemented it, was a kind of enzyme, which meant it had to go straight into his blood. A tablet or anything swallowed would end up in the stomach and get digested. The scientists produced a bunch of little vials of a serum made from the feather and gave James a special pen that was really a needle to inject the serum straight into his blood. Nick had to turn away when James did the injections, but James said he didn't mind them and he only had to do them once every couple of days. More when he was away from Brighton, less when he was around. And the inspector did tell James's parents that he had a rare form of diabetes and would need injections for the rest of his life. They were understandably upset, but grateful that the Twitchell's school nurse had picked up on the symptoms so early, before any real damage had occurred. Other than that, not much changed at Twitchell's over the rest of the year. Nick managed to persuade the inspector to get a car to drive him home every other weekend so that he could see his mum and granddad. He just about did well enough in the first round of GCSE mocks that the school didn't kick him out, though they were the worst passing results ever recorded, a fact that James was more than happy to keep reminding him of. Oh, and they added some extra lessons to his timetable, and to James, Jenny and Elf's. The lessons were instead of prep on Wednesdays and Fridays. Officially, it was called technology on their timetables. Unofficially, it was hacking time. And even though he had to spend this time with the caretaker, Nick didn't mind, because really, it just felt good to be better than James in an actual lesson. That's it. This book was written and read by me, T.D.L. White. I hope you enjoyed it. And if possible, it would be lovely if you could give some kind of rating on whatever podcast app that you listen to this via.
I'm going to spend the next few months doing some edits on this. This was basically like the first draft slash, well, draft 1.5, I guess. And then I'll put it out as a book at some point, so watch out for it.